Revelation 21. We'll look at verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Now lastly, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, our chapter 9, and we'll read at verse 43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Now we trust again that God will bless the reading of his word with what we've already been listening to tonight. In the home this afternoon during our conversation, Glenn and I were sitting talking, and I was telling him that about a year and a half ago when I first took ill and was in the hospital, the morning I come out of intensive care, Friday morning, there was a man came in to visit me. I hardly knew him too well. I knew him to speak to in the street, but that was about it. He was a Presbyterian minister in Stainer, where I live, a little town of 3,000 people. He's a saved man. And he came in and spoke to me just very briefly, asked me how I was doing, and he prayed with me and he left. On Friday evening, that minister was across the corridor in a bed, very, very ill. Very shortly after that, he got word that he had cancer and he didn't have long to live. He didn't respond to the treatments they gave him, and I used to go up to his home just outside of Stainer at least twice a week to visit him and read with him and pray with him. He loved the Word of God. Matter of fact, that's all he cared about. That's all he wanted to talk about was the Word of God. On one occasion when I was ready to leave to go home, he said to me, Dave, I want to ask a favor of you. I said, what's that, Adam? His name was Adam Houston. He said, next time you come, I'd like you to tell me about heaven. Well, I said, you know, you're a lot older than I am, and you've been a lot longer on the road to heaven than I have been. I'll tell you what, when I come next time, how about you tell me about heaven? No, he said, I want you to tell me about heaven. Well, a few days later, I went back up to his home and sat by his bedside. And with a big smile on his face, he said, David, tell me about heaven. I said, you know, Adam, it's interesting. When you open your Bible and read through the scriptures, very interesting that the Bible has very, very little to say about heaven. I think there's a good reason for that. But my brother has mentioned tonight, and he's quite true in what he said, that the Bible tells us far, far more about hell than it does about heaven. And while I may not know very much about heaven, I'm glad that I'm going there. I do know this, that the Lord Jesus is there. That's what makes heaven heaven. It wouldn't be heaven if He weren't there. He makes heaven the place that it is. So we know that He is there. But you know, apart from that, we really don't know a lot about heaven, at least what there is in heaven. Some people have this idea when we get to heaven, we're going to sit around all day playing a harp. I don't know where they get that idea from. But we really don't know much about heaven. But I was telling that man that day, I read these verses to him in Revelation that I read to you. I said, Adam, I'm glad that I'm going because of what isn't in heaven. And as I read the verses over again, I was telling him, for instance, in verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. No sea in heaven. No more sea. Isn't that interesting? The place that we who are saved are going to, there's no more sea. Well, what does that mean? Well, in the scriptures, the sea speaks of separation. And those of us who have crossed an ocean, we know all about separation. But in heaven, there's no more sea. There'll be no separation. I well remember in August of 1980, my younger brother was married in the north of Ireland. He was the last one in the family to be married. I hadn't been at many of our family weddings, having lived over here since 1969. And I decided that since it was the last one, I would go back to his wedding. It was the first time in 20 years that our whole family was together. You know, my dad, he always picked me up at the airport in Belfast and drove me, and I stayed in their home, and he always took me back. And he was a pleasant man. Always smiling, a lovely Christian. And when he left me to the airport, he always beamed. He made it easy for me to leave. Always so cheerful. And when he took me back to the airport that summer, he was his usual cheerful self. And we said goodbye. I said goodbye to he and my mother. And I started walking down a tunnel toward the boarding room in that airport. It's not a very big airport. And I did something I had never done before on all my visits back there. I looked back. And when I looked back up the tunnel, I could see my dad and mom, and there the tears were coming down their cheeks. And I couldn't take it. And I ran back up the tunnel, and I put my arms around them, and I said, come on, you two. That's enough of that. I said, I want to see you at the other side of the ocean. And my dad promised that they were coming next summer. He'd never been to this country before. Little did I know that in just a few months, I would cross back the ocean. And I would go into a little room. I would look at the cold form of my dad in a coffin. And I bowed my head and thanked God for a father that had prayed for me, that God would save me, and that his prayers were answered. Separated? You know, those of us who are saved, we're going to a place. My Bible tells me that the new more saved. No more separation. When we rise off this earth, when the Lord comes, we will say goodbye to the separations of earth. And those of our loved ones who are saved will be reunited. We're going to see them again. Thank God in heaven. No more separation. And then John goes on to tell us, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. No tears in heaven. The hymn writer as well penned those words, that teardrops will never stain the streets of heaven. To think of that moment when we hear the shout, And we're caught up to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. We're going to say goodbye to the tears of earth. Never again will we weep. We're going home to be with the Lord Jesus. You know, and every time I read this verse, I can't help but think of my dear wife. Matter of fact, it was the last time we were in the north of Ireland, 3 years ago. Easter Monday morning, I was sitting in the conference at Belfast. We had gone home to help my wife's mother move. She had to leave one rented house and get into another one. We went to help her move. I only took one day off in 3 weeks, and that was to go to that conference. And as I sat on the platform, the conference had only begun. Two men had prayed. I saw a man walking up, and he came up on the platform and said, "Are you David Grace?" "Yes." He said, "Come with me." And he took me out of the building and into a corridor, and there was another older couple waiting. He introduced me to them. This other man said, he said, "Mr. Gray, we just got a phone call. Your mother-in-law dropped dead this morning. She got off standing beside her washing machine, going to do her laundry, and dropped dead." You know, we didn't think that she was saved. My wife's father died in a sin. No time for the gospel. She wasn't brought up in a Christian home. She heard the gospel once and got saved. Some of you tonight have heard it many times, and you're still in your sins. You know, after the funeral and friends came and went, we were left on our own in our mother's home, sitting by ourselves. My wife said to me, "I'd like to go up to the cemetery." We got in the car and drove outside our little town, up on the hillside, parked the car and walked through the gates into the cemetery. We came to that fresh mound of soil covered with flowers. I can still see my dear wife as she fell on her knees. She wept over those flowers. And it wasn't as if she was calling out, it was more like a wailing. As she said, "Is my mother down there? Is my mother down there?" I want to tell you, when the Lord comes and we're called up on high, we're going to say goodbye to the tears of earth. We're going to a place where it says God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And then it says, "And there shall be no more death." No more death. The place that we're going to, there's no places of burial because there's no death. Thank God for that. How many times we stood before the open casket and the open grave. How many times we said goodbye to loved ones. But in heaven, there's no more death. We're going to say goodbye to death. I remember on one occasion I said there'll be no undertakers in heaven. I saw a young lad grin in the meeting. I said, "I better take that back. There'll be undertakers in heaven, but we're out of work." He was an undertaker and he knew the Savior. Now there are no burials up there. We're saying goodbye to death. And then John says, "Neither sorrow." The sorrows of life. The sorrows that bear us down. That we meet day by day. One of these days, when we hear the shout, we'll say goodbye to sorrow. We're going to a place where sorrows are unknown. And he says, "Nor crying, cries of anguish, cries of a broken heart, perhaps from a daughter whose family aren't saved. And she cries of agony in their behalf. Perhaps for one whose parents are not saved, and on their knees before God, they implore him to save their parents with a heart of agony. But when the Lord comes, it's all going to be. There are no cries of anguish in heaven above." And finally he says, "No more pain." Thank God for that. Not even a headache in heaven. No drugstores up there. Those of us that suffer from this old arthritis, we're going to say goodbye to it. And all the pains associated with this life. Ah yes, the moment we're taken up. Our Bible tells us where we're going. There shall be no more You know, as I sat talking to that dear man who was dying, very soon to go off into eternity, go home to be with the Savior, I could see his eyes just glisten as he sat and listened to things about this place that we're going to. No separation, no tears, no death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain. What a wonderful place. I'm glad tonight that I'm saved. My friend, how about you? Where are you bound for? If the Lord were to take you, or death were to take you at this moment, let me ask you, where will you be 5 minutes after you die? It's either heaven above or it's hell beneath. I wonder, will you come to terms with it tonight? You know, I believe that one of the problems today is not finding truth. I believe the problem is facing truth. I have a young brother who's not saved, 36 years old, and I can talk to him about anything but death. He's terrified of the thought that he might die. Yet we know that we're going to die if the Lord be not come. So it's not finding truth that's his problem, it's facing truth. Are you ready to meet God? You can make excuses in your own soul. You can make any excuse you want, but my friend, I want you to face the fact tonight, it's heaven or it's hell. Where are you bound for? But you know, at times I've sat down and considered, why are none of these things in heaven? Why is there no separation? Why are there no tears? Why no death? Why no sorrow? Why no crying? And why no pain? Why are these things not found in heaven? I don't have all the answers, but I want to make a few suggestions. There shall be no more sea, no separation in heaven. Why no separation? But I suggest to you one reason. You see, there was a time when there was one who left the heavens above. He came down to this sin-cursed scene. He walked as a man amongst men. But one day on a lonely hill at Calvary, when that scene was clothed in darkness, the Lord Jesus knew what it was to be separated from his God. The one who had never known what it was to be alone. For the first time, there he is all alone. Left to suffer and to die. Separated from a holy and a righteous God. But because of sin, your sin and mine, there will be no separation in heaven. Because as a man upon earth, he knew what it was to be separated from his God. And then we read that there was no more tears. There's no tears in heaven. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Why no tears in heaven? Because the Lord Jesus, as a man upon earth, he knew what it was to weep. He stood at the tomb of Lazarus and he wept those tears of sympathy. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he wept tears of sorrow. But I want to tell you, one day he stood over the city of Jerusalem. And he looked over a city and the people that he came to save. And they rejected him, and they despised him, and they were about to crucify him. And it says that he wept over that city, because they knew not the day of their visitation. And because he wept over Christ's rejecters, there were no tears in heaven. There were no Christ rejecters to leap over in heaven. He wept as a man upon earth. No death in heaven? Why no death? My friend, I want you to think of the one who bowed in the Garden of Gethsemane. We read of him that he took Peter and James and John And we read that he left them and he went a stone's cast. You know, in the Old Testament, the stone's cast was the distance of a rebellious son when he was being stoned to death. And I see the Lord Jesus going a stone's cast. And he falls prostrate on the ground. He took the stance of a rebellious son. And yet he was bearing the sin of your rebellion and my rebellion against the holy and a righteous God. And falling prostrate on the ground, he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful and nigh unto death. The one in whom death had no claim. The wages of sin is death. He knew no sin. He couldn't sin. He had nothing in his being that could respond to sin. Yet he was willingly going to enter into death on that cross. He bowed his head and he yielded up his spirit. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that Christ died for our sin. Those soldiers, when they broke the legs of those thieves, and they came to the man on the center cross, and they saw that he was dead already. And men whose hearts were filled with brutality took a spear and plunged it into the side of a man who was already dead. No death in heaven, because the Lord Jesus at Calvary might live. No sorrow in heaven. Thank God for that. You know, if we turn to Isaiah 53, you would read these words. That he was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. Oh, it says we despised him. They didn't realize that the sorrows that he was bearing was not his own. And in the coming day, they will acknowledge that surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we despised him, they rejected him. On earth he became a man of sorrows. There were no sorrows in heaven, because he knew what it was as a man to bear those sorrows as he walked upon earth. No crying, no cries of anguish, no cries from a heart that is broken in heaven. My friend, when I draw near again to Calvary, when I see a scene that is clothed in darkness, when man was not allowed to look upon the Son of God as he suffered on account of sin, I hear a cry that pierced the skies. Of one who was forsaken as he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's left alone. Left alone. No sorrows in heaven. He bore those sorrows at Calvary. And that cry of agony was his that pierced the skies. Finally, John said, no more pain. No pain in heaven. When I think of the pain that he endured on his way to Calvary, those soldiers that took him and scourged them, those that plucked the hairs from his cheeks, that spat upon him, that cruel crown of thorns that pierced his lovely brow. Then they led him out to Calvary, nailed him by the hands and the feet to an old rugged cross. There he hung. What a pathetic sight. The pains that he endured as a man upon earth. Oh, thank God. Those of us who are saved, we're going to that place. There's no separation, no tears, no death, no sorrow, no crying, cries of anguish, and no pain. Because the Lord Jesus endured every one of those for you and for me. You know what I would love to do right at this moment? I would love to just close my Bible and say, that's it. That's all there is to it.
I want to say this before I close. I wouldn't be faithful if I didn't say this. No separation in heaven. Because he knew the separation of a man upon earth. But if you reject that man, you will know what it is if you die in your sins. To be separated from a holy God, not just for a few moments of time, but for the endless ages of eternity. You die in your sins and you're going to a place of eternal separation. A place where there's no mercy. A place that is absolutely hopeless. You know, hope is the mainspring of life. A man who is ill, he hopes for better health. Those who are unemployed, they hope for employment. The poor, they're hoping for riches. Hope, the mainspring of life. But when you die in your sins, open your eyes in the face of hell. All hope has been removed. Place utter hopelessness, to be separated from the mercy and grace of God throughout the countless ages of eternity. No tears in heaven. He wept over Christ's rejecters as a man upon earth. But my friend, can I tell you as tenderly as I can tonight that if you die in your sins, my Bible tells me that where you are going, this is what it says. There shall be weeping. You reject the one who wept over that city, and those tears will be yours for eternal ages. No more death because he died. But you reject the man who died on Calvary's cross. And my Bible tells me that the wages of sin is death. And in that coming day, death and hell, the dead arose out of death and hell, and whosoever's name was not found in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That eternal death will be yours. No sorrow in heaven. He became the man of sorrows. My friend, you reject the man of sorrows. My Bible tells me that those sorrows will be yours forever. To think that you sat in a gospel meeting on a Lord's Day night, you could have come to the Savior. You could have trusted him. But if you reject him and die in your sins, all the sorrows of hell, the awful memories that will be yours, I could have been saved. I should have been saved, but I rejected Christ, and now I'm lost. I'm lost forever. No sorrows, no cries of anguish in heaven, because of the one who cried at the darkness of Calvary, the one who was forsaken. That you reject him, and this is what my Bible says. That where you are going, there shall be weeping and wailing. The cries of anguish and agony that are ascending from the flames of hell tonight because of the many who rejected the cry of agony of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. And those cries of agony are now theirs for eternal ages. No pain in heaven. He knew the pains of earth. But if you reject him tonight, listen to what my Bible says. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing teeth. All the pain, the suffering that will be yours in the flames of hell. You read Luke 16, and you listen to a rich man who died in his sins, and this is what he says. I am tormented in this thing. My friend, you have a choice to make. make tonight. This is not something to play with. We don't play church. We don't speak to win prizes. We don't get up here to be popular. But you have a choice you must make tonight. You will choose Christ. And when you choose Christ, you're choosing heaven as your home. If you reject the Lord Jesus, you say no to the man who died. And you have chosen hell for your everlasting abode. Oh, may God speak to you. May you open up your heart as it were tonight to Him. May you bow as it were at the foot of that old rugged cross. Come in all of your sin and acknowledge that I'm just a guilty sinner. But to thank God that Jesus died for me. May God help you to come to Christ tonight and accept Him as your Savior. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we thank Thee for time that we could spend together around the good Word of God. We pray now that the twofold messages that have been given might be used by Thy Spirit to speak to some sinner tonight, that they might be awakened to the awfulness of their destiny if they should die in their sins. To think that there may be one with us tonight, and perhaps before this day has come to a close, that the cold hand of death may have been upon them, and they've gone out into eternity, and perhaps without the Savior. Oh God, we shudder to think of this ever happening to one who's sitting among us, and yet we know that it's possible. These things are so real. Oh God, we pray that Thou would speak to each one tonight, and those who know not the Savior, that Thou would speak tenderly to them, in all of Thy great love, and the love that God has loved us with, that they might be attracted to the blessed man of Calvary. We pray, our God, for the salvation of some dear soul tonight, for we ask these things, giving our thanks, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now our time is gone. We'll take time, perhaps, to sing at least two verses of 106.